guys, welcome to another Cigar Chat, brought to you live on CigarFederation.com, broadcast around the world, the Armed Forces Radio Network. Thank you for tuning in wherever you are today. It's another beautiful day out here in California for me. It's up in the, we're getting in the 90s, Logan. What's everything going on with you in Texas?
Man, it was 90s late last week, early this week. But man, we've had a cold snap. It was like, it's been getting down the 50s at night and 70 during the day. It's been gorgeous.
No beanies for you today, huh?
No beanies. I finally got the algae out of the pool, and my wife has taken a turn from pregnant crazy town to more normal town. It's been good, man.
Yeah, that's good. That's major progress.
Yeah, dude, it's been good.
We're glad to hear that things are clearing up on the home front. We've got Glenn with us from Cigar Rights of America. Glenn, thank you for joining us today. We appreciate it.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah, we know that with everything that's going on with the FDA and things like that, that you're a busy guy. So taking some time out to chat with us, we really do appreciate it.
Anytime where we can help spread the gospel, especially right now, like right now, it's critical that we have these types of conversations.
For sure. And we've had, like I had mentioned, you know, before we got on air, we've got pages and pages of questions from our audience. So I'm going to go ahead and jump right in. Why don't you give us a little bit of background on yourself and give us kind of a broad overview of what CRA, Cigar Rights of America, really does.
Sure, and thank you for the opportunity. And if I start coughing and hacking during this, I'm fighting a cold, so hopefully everybody excuses me. It's an interesting time, and I'm having a flashback to when all of this actually began, which was late 2008. It was in 2008 that CRA was conceived, and it was conceived by the manufacturers in the industry when it first came under attack through the S-chip taxes. Which was one of the first times that premium cigars were in the federal crosshairs for new levels of taxation. And they realized that something very different had to be done. They needed a grassroots movement to back themselves up in a political context. So I came on board in December of 2008, which is what happens when you simply drive Rocky Patel from one place to another and you start to engage in a conversation about these things. At the time, I had my own lobbying firm in Virginia, and one of my clients was the Cigar Association of Virginia, where we fought smoking bans primarily, and I did it just really, I say this kind of half-handedly, did it for the fun of it, because the idea of the government telling me that I couldn't enjoy a cigar in a steakhouse that we have in Roanoke, Virginia, that was at the time, one of the best cigar lounges I'd ever been in my life. The idea of the Virginia legislature telling me that I couldn't do that didn't settle very well, so we pulled together the retail community in Virginia, and we all collectively started the Cigar Association of Virginia. We had brought Rocky in to help lobby the House Republicans one weekend, and we started talking about CRA and the idea and the theory, and it was at that time strictly a theory about creating CRA. So going into January of 2009 was really when we got started in earnest with staff and resources and the like to start better informing the consumers of America about what was happening with regard to how they could effectively fight smoking bans and taxation and regulation, principally at that time at the local and state level. So now, since that time, over the course of the last 5 years, it's evolved into a 50-state membership. It's grown into a coalition of hundreds upon hundreds of retail tobacconists and a coalition of well over 60 manufacturers that vary in size from the very, very small to the multinationals. So it's been an interesting process for the last 5 years. I'm not gonna say I had a full head of hair when the thing started, but it was damn close.
Dude, that's a lot of ground to cover, man, in a pretty short amount of time.
Well, it's been amazing. Last time I looked at it, 30 states for either events or political reasons, either in terms of expanding our network with retailers and consumers or for political reasons and the legislation that we either are fighting or supporting, one or the other. So it's been an interesting crisscross of America, if you will. But, you know, as I'm fond of saying, this is not going to be the first industry, and it's certainly not going to be the last, that calls its way back from political Armageddon. If you look at the history of the anti-smoking movement, and you realize at that juncture that if this industry had started to really position itself differently in the late 80s, early 90s, it'd be a very different political ballgame today. But I think that the industry is doing yeoman's work to play catch-up, I think a network is being constructed that can help this industry prosper into the next generation, and that's what it's all about. And the thing that it was all born over, you know, fighting a smoking ban in Virginia, and that began in 2006 to evolve to what it is today, has been a fascinating thing to be a part of.
Yeah, and I know that you mentioned this early that you're battling a cold, so I apologize. We're going to keep you talking here.
No, it's okay.
I know that when it comes to this stuff, I'm not an expert. I know Logan likes to think he's an expert in everything, but he probably knows more.
I got 1 year of law school under my belt. Just leave me alone. I'm a third of a JD, so leave me alone.
Well, you can talk more intelligently about this than I can. But my goal for this show today is to really have you talking more than anybody else. So sure. I'm going to start going through some of these questions because we've got a ton of them. And this is just a real basic question. This is from Mark Anthony, and he says, so when I joined CRA, without getting, you know, too specific into, you know, what's going on now, he says, where does my money go when I join CRA?
Sure. The most significant thing I could provide to answer that question, excuse me, is that we just spent our $2 millionth on the federal regulatory effort. And I know that later in the show we're going to get into the FDA action and the FDA regulatory measure that we're confronting right now in more detail. But since a question comes up on the dollars, this is a very expensive proposition. Like I said, it was just in the last 30 days that we spent our $2 millionth organizing our federal campaign and effort. We have a collection of 4 different firms on retainer to do that. We have a House Republican and House and Senate Republican specialist. We have a Senate and House Democratic specialist. We have lobbying consultation for just the leadership, principally in the Senate. And we have FDA legal counsel. And those collectively are a serious chunk of dollars every single month. We can literally say right now at this juncture that the retail and consumer dues that come to CRA are matched dollar for dollar by the manufacturing community. So really we can say that the dues of the consumer and our retail allies take care of all of our overhead, if you will, for the staff and the like, and for our consolidated Washington, D.C. office, where we have 3 staff members present, and then we have Patrick Carr on the road as a field membership manager, traveling and crisscrossing the country, stirring up consumer members like we're doing here at Cigar Fest this weekend. The retail and consumer side takes care of that type of overhead so that we can preserve the much larger, shall we say, manufacturing dollars for the lobbying campaign. We use our staff resources to engage the consumer for the smoking ban battles at the local and state level, principally at the state level, and tax measures at the state level, where if we have to go to a state capitol or get with particular legislators and the like to engage at that level. But really, for the last 2.5 years, we've had to preserve every dollar that we can for the federal effort, because it is truly the greatest threat that we confront. So right now we can say that I think we just did the calculation recently. We've taken in about $2.3 million in manufacturer dollars, and again, the consumers and retailers have almost matched that. And then we do special fundraising types of activities for our lobbying fund, like our 10-count sampler and the like. So I hope that answers the question. And so it's virtually all dedicated, with the exception of our direct staff overhead, to our federal lobbyist campaign.
Yeah, that's you definitely addressed the question. I know, and it's oddly timing. I just re-upped my membership to your membership, and every time this just arrived
in the mail
for me yesterday. So,
cigars are donated by the manufacturers to us to help, you know, give a thank you to consumers like yourself that join and help the cause. You know, we just did the National Rifle Association convention in Indianapolis last weekend. It's a serious cigar-smoking crowd, and it's been a nice partnership, both politically and in terms of growing our membership base. And to be able to provide that and share in that and engage with other types of like-minded Americans in terms of it's all about freedom is a good thing. So what the significance of that story is that the NRA told me that they lose money on every membership, that it's all about humans. And that's what we need to do in terms of the mentality and the philosophy that we carry forward. We need an army of cigar smokers, of passionate cigar smokers out there that, as I'm fond of putting it, you consider yourself no longer a cigar smoker, you're a cigar voter. Are you going to cast your ballot for those that are best protecting this passion that we share, that are voting to keep the federal regulatory measures out of our life, that are voting against smoking bans and taxes at the state level? Really starting to carry that message across the country to say, listen, we are a bona fide political constituency. So to hear from the NRA that they lose money on membership in order to get that critical mass of humans, of Americans, of voters to demonstrate that they're a political constituency is very much a model that we need to emulate. And I'm not talking about political philosophy. I'm talking about just organizational capacity.
Sure, just getting those numbers. I mean, that's that's now actually someone in our chat room here asked, do you have or can you share the number of members that CRA has?
We just prefer to say that we have a base of 50, a base in all 50 states.
Oh, in all 50 states. Okay. Yeah. So yeah, you're covering the whole map. So that's
if we have three in Vermont, they count for Vermont. I can tell you that our biggest states for membership are Pennsylvania, Florida, New York, California, and Texas.
Well, followed not by surprised.
Well, because followed by Wisconsin and Illinois. Yeah. We have a very strong base in the South, up to the Northeast, to about New York. Very strong base in Massachusetts. There are parts of the country that we need a greater emphasis on strengthening our membership, principally in the Midwest and then back on the West Coast.
Okay. So a question for you, based on the states. I mean, obviously the states you listed off by population, makes sense. Pennsylvania, because they have some of the best tax laws for cigars and some of the biggest retailers in the U.S. located in Pennsylvania.
It's called Zero.
Yeah, well, I didn't want to make anybody feel bad. I mean, Texas is $0.07, so I feel like I'm being totally discriminated against. But in terms of that, have you found support for cigars in general to be more of a red state or a blue state type thing, or do you think it spans across the aisle into both parties?
You know, when our bill was filed in Congress and during the 112th Congress, I gave an interview to the Wall Street Journal where I said we have the only bill in Congress that's got Charlie Rangel and Michelle Bachmann on the same bill, which must mean we're right when you've got these diametric opposites of the political spectrum. We've got serious Democrats in our corner at the state and federal level. We've got serious Republicans in our corner at the state and federal level. There's some marvelous cigar smokers in Congress on both sides of the aisle. And in terms of the state composition, I would say it's down the middle. I mean, frankly, we've had just as many Republican governors sign smoking ban bills as Democrats. And I think that's a telling commentary. This issue really doesn't split down party lines. It may sometimes appear that way because we're trying to appeal more to a libertarian, anti-regulatory type of message. But I think we can honestly say that we have become a bipartisan issue.
Very cool. No, I mean, and that's kind of what I would have figured because it's something that spans across political parties, culture, and everything. I mean, it's something that unites people regardless, right?
So. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And, guys, after this break, we'll get into a little bit more of what's going on with the FDA right now. Hey guys, welcome back to Cigar Chat, brought to you live on CigarFederation.com, broadcast around the world, the Armed Forces Radio Network. We're here with Glenn from the Cigar Rights of America, talking about our rights, as Americans to enjoy this product that we all love. Logan, this segment is brought to us by who?
This segment, Rob, is brought to us by, very, very telling, it's a very American product, Amodores. Check them out, Amodores.com. They take basically boxes from 30 cal and 50 cal, machine guns that are used in battle, turn them into humidors lined with Spanish cedar. It's a very cool product. It's very unique. It's a very cool conversation piece. I finally actually got mine, thanks, Chris, in the mail, and they're rough and rugged. Check them out, ammodoors.com. Back to you, Roberto.
You say rough and tugged almost every week.
Dude, I know, man. I'm just a Texan idiot. I can't even talk.
Tough and rugged. I love it.
He's got that 1 year of law school.
Yeah, I know, man. Hey, it's true. And I can't ride either. There's a reason I only have 1 year of law school. It's because I can't ride either.
Oh, that sounds like a good story for another time. All right. So, Glenn, give us kind of – there's been a lot of action with, you know, bills in the FDA and things of that nature. Some of our guys who follow us and follow the site and are active on the site, they're up to date on what's going on, and they're real savvy about it. Some of the guys, like myself, are a little bit undereducated when it comes to what's going on. So give us kind of, you know, an overlook of what's going on in a way that, you know, everybody can understand it.
Let me give you a little bit of history, since I think we have a little bit of time that I can give some history to let people appreciate where we are today because of where we have come. Everyone thought, I say everyone, in the political community in Washington, the conventional wisdom was that the president's first action when he got elected was going to be the economic stimulus package. It wasn't. It was the signing of the Tobacco Control Act. And the signing of the Tobacco Control Act, which had been vetoed twice before by President Bush II, and been in the works for well over a decade prior to that by principally Senator Ted Kennedy of Massachusetts. The administration granted comprehensive regulatory authority to the U.S. Food and Drug Administration over all tobacco products. I can say that in June of 2009, I wrote a piece for our members about what that could mean for cigars. And I was told, no, that's not the case, that it won't happen in our lifetime or it won't happen in 10 years, et cetera, et cetera. I said that anytime you give a federal regulatory agency the power to do something, it's going to. And a lot of the things, as a matter of fact, the vast majority of things that I said in that article in 2009 have come true. The FDA has since posted 9 times their intent to regulate in the Federal Register, their intent to regulate cigars. Problem is, they never said what a cigar was. As I'm fond of saying to Congressman Hal Rogers of Kentucky, who's on our bill, and being from Kentucky, I said, Congressman, it's no different than the fact that bourbon is defined by federal statute. Bourbon is defined by federal statute saying you got to be 51% corn, aged for at least 12 months, and averted the same. You can't regulate it. You can't touch it. You can't treat it like other tobacco products. So then things got more serious. The FDA, as I said, posted 9 times their intent to regulate. Then we showed that the president has a fondness for holidays. On leading into the congressional break for 2012 for Christmas, Congress adjourned on a Friday afternoon. A couple hours later, the president dropped his unified regulatory agenda, and regulating cigars was in it. Then roll around, and we hit July. We hit the July 4th recess for Congress of 2013. Congress leaves town on July 3rd for the July 4th recess. A couple hours later, the president dropped his unified regulatory agenda. Sure enough, there it is, regulate cigars. Come forward again, Thanksgiving. Congress adjourns for Thanksgiving break, drops the unified regulatory agenda. Boom, regulate cigars. They missed all the previous 9 deadlines. They missed the 3 deadlines that I just mentioned. And then finally they come out once more and say, we're going to come after the industry. Well, that's all in the works between April of 2010 and this past Thanksgiving of 2013. Then they did it again on Christmas of 2013. Then in the spring they said it again. So all this is building. And you never know, you know, people said we were basically fighting a ghost. And it's true. But the problem with the cigar industry historically is that it only reacts in time of crisis. And you know, the reason others that are much, much larger than the cigar industry can win 8 out of 10 political battles is because their machine is never off. And we have to adopt that mindset that our political machine is never off. And I think we can say that for the last 2.5, almost 3 years, that's been the case on this front. So then, flash forward, last Wednesday, the rumor mill started going nuts in Washington that happened. There had been a series of hearings with the Senate Health Committee. I was at a number of them, and you had the commissioner of the FDA, Margaret Homburg, in front of the committees. You had Mitch Zeller, director of the Center for Tobacco Products of the FDA, in front of another committee. And this started to gel. These things have a way of taking on a life of their own in Washington. So you can kind of detect when something is up. Then the rumor mill just broke wide open last Wednesday that the rules were going to be dropped, the deeming regulation was going to be dropped that night by midnight. By midnight, the story started to change that it was going to be 9 o'clock the next morning, and sure enough, boom, out came 241 pages of deeming regulation on cigars, e-cigarettes, hookah, and pipe tobacco, which are the last four products that the agency has to regulate. And I'm sure we'll get into more in discussion. I'll take your lead on that, on how much you want to get into that now. But that's really the evolution. And to counteract that, in the 112th Congress, we had legislation filed that would prevent the FDA from regulating premium cigars. And we defined it, just like I mentioned the story with Congressman Rogers. We defined it. We finished the 112th Congress with 221 co-sponsors in the House of Representatives. Very, very bipartisan coalition of 221 co-sponsors. That's a working majority of Congress. The magic number there is 218. But nothing got through the last Congress. You remember the debate about fiscal cliff and all that kind of stuff. Nothing got through the last Congress. So we had and we had 13, 14 members of the Senate on that version of the bill. We refined the bill. We refiled it in February of 2013. And now we're back up to 155 co-sponsors on that legislation. It'll be up to 120 years shortly, and we just flipped our 15th member of the United States Senate. And again, both of them very, very bipartisan coalitions on the bill. And that bill is a unique instrument to be used, to be nurtured, and frankly, a bargaining chip. It's helped shape and mold this debate, obviously, with the Congress, because there is a lot of segments of that bill that have been incorporated into this deeming regulation. And I'm sure later in our conversation we'll get into what's horrible about the deeming regulation that's been presented by the FDA. Is that a dissertation or what for you?
No, this was great. This is great. Yeah, I mean, you can't really know what's happening without knowing what's happened in the past. So, I mean, you led kind of right into my question, and I read about 50 pages of that 200 pages until I almost fell asleep on an airplane flight. But one thing I took away, and I think this is something that's very important, it seems like there's going to be, out of the FDA, kind of the deeming document that they wrote, there's going to be one of two scenarios. Scenario one is that, you know, basically e-cigarettes, hookah, pipe tobacco are kind of in a rough spot, where cigars would be lumped in with them and regulated by the FDA. But there could potentially be option two, in which there's an exception carved out for premium cigars, as you described. Can you give us a little bit more insight into option two and what that exception would actually entail?
Well, there's several different ways to interpret it, and I'm not at liberty to talk about some approaches and strategy to that option two. Yesterday, we had a strategy session in Washington between the big three organizations that advocate for the premium cigar industry, accomplishment of the legislation. Also, CRA briefed the FDA four different times over the last 2 years. We also briefed the White House Office of Management and Budget three times in the last 6 months. And the White House Office of Management and Budget is the last arbiter, if you will, for the issuance of federal regulations for this administration. I think our message was received. I think some of it was taken to heart. I think it helped shape and mold some of what came out of this process. But there's obviously some things in it that are very, very disturbing. And we'll talk about those a little bit later on, I'm sure. But that option two would hypothetically provide an exemption for those cigars that met that criteria. The segment that it offers that to, if you will, if it were accepted at all, is only about 15% of the total cigar universe. And so that's the reason it's really a non-starter and unacceptable to the industry. But the question becomes, how can we use this to further the dialogue with the agency and with the White House to get our message across as to why this sector of the premium cigar industry needs to be treated differently?
So follow up, you were talking about the 15% that the exception would apply to. I'm assuming the stuff that outside of that is any hand or any machine rolled cigar, any flavored cigar. Are there any potential, you know, things that would not apply to outside of those two?
No, it really hits the machine made market more than anything. Obviously, there was criteria in there about no characterizing flavor, but yet they didn't define what characterizing flavor was, which they're fond of defining everything else. Why not give some guidance on that? But they didn't. And it would be very difficult because of the reference to Longfiller that the machine-made cigars that are made in principally four factories left in America, and I was in one of them last week, National Cigar in Frankfort, Indiana. The other Fink factory in San Antonio, Texas.
Yep.
And and the Newman's in Tampa, and another one in Pennsylvania. And between them, between all four, you're talking about less than 200 jobs in America. So that's going to be that question is going to have to be handled separately with a very different strategy than the other pieces of this puzzle that we'll be fighting.
Got it. No, that makes perfect sense. I mean, I think we're getting close to a break, so I want to – yeah, we got 53 seconds. So let me just ask a quick question here. Is we're going to get into the next segment about, you know, what are some of the things that are on the table if option one goes through. But from your standpoint in 30 seconds, what can people do, the consumers, to fight this over 84 days? What can they do?
Well, it's over the next 70 days that we want the cigars, and we're going to be asking for an extension, by the way. But we will have a portal on the CRE website, which is cigarrights.org. On the front page, you're going to have a portal, and it'll have a list of suggested themes that folks can draw from to compose their own message to the FDA. They can draw from those and compose their own message, hopefully, you know, supporting our position. That's number one. We hope to flood the FDA with between 100 and 200,000 comments during the course of this process. That should be a realistic expectation. It's one of the reasons also this event up here at Cigar Fest went from a membership development drive to a petition drive real quick. But fill out that petition, that send that message to the FDA that premium cigars ought to be exempt. Give the reasons that you're passionate about this industry. And I'll give some other criteria after the break, but, you know, we're not sold to America's youth. We're not chemically addictive. It is about small business throughout America. It is about a celebratory product that is not used in excess. Nobody sits around chain-smoking cigars. We need to get these points across to the bureaucracy. And if we echo those types of messages by the tens of thousands, we've got a decent shot of fighting this thing, at least shaping it and molding it, and getting it closer to something that's acceptable.
All right, we'll get into that a little bit more on the other side of the break. Hey guys, welcome back to Cigar Chat, brought to you live on CigarFederation.com, broadcast around the world on the Armed Forces Radio Network. Thank you for tuning in wherever you are out there in the world today. We're here with Glenn from Cigar Rights of America, talking about you know, potential FDA regulations and, you know, what we can do to help fight the battle. Logan, final segment brought to us by who?
The final segment is brought to us by none other than, surprise, Glenn, you didn't know that you're going to be paying for this, but Cigar Rights of America. So basically, yeah, I mean, the guys, you know, we normally interview manufacturers on the show. Because that's just kind of what we do. But, I mean, I can't tell you how critically important it is. Wherever you are, if you enjoy cigars, whether it's, you know, one a day, one a month, one a year, once in your lifetime, to go out, go to CRA, get involved, join as a member, fill out the petition. Because, and like you said, 70 days, we could have a strange beast in our hands. So get out there and vote. Go to CRA.com.
It's Cigar Rights.
CigarRights.org.
And when you sign up, like I showed earlier, you guys get this in the mail, two free cigars in there when you sign up for your new membership. So Okay, so let's get a little bit more into Glenn. I know you've been talking a lot, and I know you're fighting off that cold. So I do apologize, and we appreciate you powering through. So we talked a little bit about, you know, what we can do to fight it. So let's get into a little bit more of the nuts and bolts of what these regulations that we're facing. What does it mean to the average cigar consumer?
Is there a question in there, or?
Oh, I think we lost.
Keep going.
That's all right. We can start
this
final.
We'll continue on.
Yeah, we'll start the segment over. And there was a question.
Oh, there we go.
Bye. I don't know what happened there.
That's all right. The internet is an imperfect device, but
Obama heard that you were on the show and kicked you off. The NSA stopped it.
NSA did it.
Exactly.
I lined out that whole question, Logan, and now you said it wasn't good enough, so why don't you give us one? You see what I was getting at. Maybe you can word it better.
Maybe. I mean, what does, you know, if option one is to come to bear, we've seen a lot of things around the price of cigars will be $10. Potentially there's no online sales. They have to have paid samples. Can you break down what, if option one goes through, what are the critical things that we can potentially expect to see out of this?
Well, the absolutely worst pieces of this puzzle. One is the ban on sampling. The entire marketing culture of premium handmade cigars is that everybody's palate is different. Everybody's got different passions. Everybody's got different desires for their cigars. Yeah, mild, medium, strong, everything in the middle. Everybody knows their favorite brands based upon those taste profiles. And the idea that a manufacturer could not come up with a blend, wants to take it to market, can't walk into a cigar shop and hand everybody one. Just hand everybody one and say, I hope you like it, so that you'll buy a box or buy five of them. Not having the opportunity to do that would be an unmitigated disaster for this industry. The other one is really what we call path to market, pre-market review. It is insane to think that a cigar manufacturer could come up with a blend and have to submit that blend to the federal government for approval before he's allowed to go to market. Plus, in this regulation, by their own admission, in this document, they state that it will take a manufacturer 5,000 hours to do the application process, to apply and work through the entire process. Take 5,000 hours.
Now, being it's like two working years.
To be conservative on the fees to do that, if you had to have a lawyer hold your hand during that entire process, you could be talking between $1 million and $1.5 million. Well, you're between $1 million and $1.7 million in just the fees to work through the process. That is an insane proposition. And that's a message we're going to take to the U.S. Small Business Administration, to their Office of Advocacy, which is paid to help defend small businesses. And I'm talking about everybody from a mid-tiered cigar company to the small boutique cigar companies, to how this impacts your local retailer. We haven't even gotten into the questions of what I would consider the next round, because this is not it. This 240 pages is not it. This is the beginning. Eventually, we're going to get into the subject of non-face-to-face tobacco sales, and that's going to be disastrous. That is truly where we say protect America's humidor, because they despise the fact that you and I can walk into our local community tobacco shop, pick out a cigar, hold it, touch it, maybe even taste it before we've ever bought it. And getting this whole notion of banning any form of self-service tobacco sales is going to be a front and center issue. Getting into good manufacturing practice standards on cigar production facilities. But really, in this first round of the document that's in front of us, path to market is what's just pressing the day. Three things: the $10 minimum price point to be deemed a premium cigar, pre-market review of the product before it can go to market, and a ban on sampling. And any of those three right now would be an unmitigated disaster for this industry.
How do you define the $10? Is that based on wholesale price? Is that based on retail price? How do you define that?
We don't know, because they didn't lay down the rule.
Interesting.
It's sort of like they didn't define what characterizing flavor means either. And the federal government's very fond of defining everything. They didn't define that, and it's very intentional to keep that as a nebulous moving target, if you will.
Interesting. So, within those FDA regulations, from the standpoint of having to have blends approved, you know, I've read a little bit. I mean, we're talking where manufacturers during this process will have to divulge which tobaccos they use, divulge the blends, and I mean, will cigars that have already been made and brought to the market, will those receive kind of a grandfather exemption, or will those have to be certified as well?
We talked about that yesterday. I mean, right now, you know, you got a standard for cigarettes and smokeless where you have to go back. It's called the substantial equivalency test. If you can prove that your product is substantially equivalent to what you had on the market prior to X, and in the case of cigarettes and smokeless, it'd be like June 2007 or something in 2007. But you still have to go through the process of the FDA proving that product was substantially equivalent to what you already had on the market. So that was a big part of our discussions yesterday as an industry as a whole. Do we press for a date that's closer to 2009? Do we say it's as of the deeming regulation? Is it as of the time of a final rule, which could be years from now? So it's all very, very much a moving target, and the story is literally going to change by the hour.
So if the target is moving and the story is changing by the hour, at the end of these 70 days, what do you expect to happen?
Well, one, we're going to press for an extension. It's ridiculous to think that, the agency's been plotting this, at least on cigars, since April of 2010, and then drops 241 pages on us that has 78 different points that apply to cigars, and then say you got 75 days to respond. That's not fair to the industry. It's not fair to our ability to mobilize our people to comment. It's not fair in terms of the ability to develop, the type of legislative and regulatory responses that we need to combat this thing. So there'll be a request for an extension of that, but we can't rest on our laurels, because we don't know if it's going to be granted. Excuse me. We don't know if it'll be granted. So we have to act as if every day is our absolute last, which would be July the 9th. So our intent is to inundate the agency with people from across this country that have a passion for great cigars, and let them articulate that to the agency that's now got the power to regulate it.
Wow. I'm like speechless.
Heavy stuff, I know.
You know, man.
Well, it's just so there's a lot of information, and from my standpoint, and I'm not a very political person, it's frustrating. Because there's all the stuff that you were saying, it's a lot of it is vague, and it's intentionally vague, and there's a certain level of frustration that I take from some of the stuff that I'm hearing.
Well, just think about this in this context. Excuse me, this context. I spoke at the Cigar Aficionado seminars at Big Smoke Vegas last November, and John Huber had just left the stage. So there's John Huber and Mike Conder being, great entrepreneurs, launching, Four Kicks, come out with a Headley Grange, doing entrepreneurial endeavor, putting their life and their soul into this. So I use them as a metaphor for this entire industry. My statement is, who is the federal government to say that, Huber and Conder can't come together, form a company, enter into a partnership like they've done with people like Ernesto Carrello and others, come out with great cigars, and not, live the American dream by producing those cigars for the enjoyment of you and me. The Garcias had just left the stage, get Cigar of the Year. Truly an amazing story of how that family has evolved over the years. And I'm saying to myself, who is the United States government to stand in the way of that? It's a success story like Rocky Patel or Nick Perdomo or Carlito Fuente. pick a legend in this business who truly, didn't come up by the bootstraps to make themselves and make great cigars for you and I to enjoy. That's what this story is all about. It's not about, producing a trillion cigarettes for the huddled masses. This is about making an artisan product that's got history and culture and skill behind it. And that's been our message to Congress for the last, 3 years. Getting that across to the agency, getting that across to this administration is what remains in our battle. And everybody's got to be a part of this. This is no joke. The seriousness of this is in those pages. And I hope that your listeners and viewers and the like take this message to heart, that everybody needs to be a part of this process if you have any passion at all for great cigars.
So that's a perfect segue to my next question. I think we've got about 5 minutes left. And this is a question from Mike McCain. He posted, he said, you know, other than joining CRA, if you know, if you're already a member, writing our representatives in the portal that you were saying is going to be you know, available on your website, what else can we do to protect our rights and fight for these rights?
Well, marvelous question. At the federal level, our legislation to exempt cigars, H.R. 792 and S-772, are still alive and alive for the till December 31st of this year. Like I said, that is a critical legislative instrument that we've got to advance to try to get it ingrained in the federal statute to protect premium cigars. Check our site. Up at the top, there's a counter. It's a petition counter. One, fill out our petition to Congress. All you do is put in your name and your zip code, and we take care of the rest, because your zip code tells you which congressional district you live in, and we will send your note direct that's already done to your member of Congress and to your two U.S. senators. So one, fill out that petition that's free on the front of our site. Two, right beside it, it gives you the number of House members and Senate members that are on our bill. Click on that, and you will be able to know whether or not your member of Congress is on those bills. So click on it. If your member of Congress is not on H.R. 792, for God's sakes, call their office and ask them why not. Get a response. CRA members, cigar smokers across the country, have been fabulous at sending us the responses of their members of Congress, letting us know their feelings, pro and con. At least it helps gives us insight into how a given member of Congress feels about our legislation. We've got everything from letters that say we are absolutely with you to three-page epistles from people like Al Franken from Minnesota and Barbara Boxer and your other one from California, three-page epistles telling us why we are wrong. But at least we know where they stand. So go to cigarrights.org. One, join. Two, fill out the congressional petition. It's absolutely free. We take care of it all. Name and zip code, and we take care of the rest. And three, look on that list of sponsors for the House and Senate and find out if your member is on it. And likewise, at the state level, when things for smoking bans or taxes come up in your state capital, every state has a section under our news piece on our website. Every state. And we give you every bill that pertains to premium handmade cigars on our site. Check it out. Contact your state legislators and find out where they stand. Let them know that you're out there. It's the only way they're going to know if cigar smokers are a bona fide political constituency. And I think these are just some of the nominal steps that we can do to better organize ourselves across the country.
Glenn, you've given us all some homework and a lot of stuff to think about. Guys, definitely check out cigarrights.org. If you're watching on Cigar Federation, the logo is right there at the top of the screen. You can click on that. It'll take you right to the website. It sounds like there's a ton of information there that everybody can, you can dive right into that. That's your homework assignment for this week, boys and girls, is to go get involved if you're not already. Glenn, I know you're fighting that cold, man, and I really do appreciate you taking
time. I'm sorry for the hacking and that's going on in the background. I've been running my mouth solid since last Wednesday.
No, I know that it's been a lot to ask. We do appreciate you taking the time. We're just up against it, so we're going to let you go here in a few minutes. But, guys, we appreciate you checking out another Cigar Chat. Again, can't say it enough. Go to cigarrights.org and get involved. I mean, all the information is there for you. I mean, it's the one-stop shop, so anything you guys need to know, it's all going to be there for you. So we do appreciate
and
that.
If anybody's got any other questions for me, they can send them to our general info@cigarrights.org if anybody's got any specific questions for me in the follow-up.
Cool. And I know we've still got a few questions here that we didn't get to, and we'll compose those into a nice email for you, and hopefully we can get those answers posted up here sometime in the near future.
Don't be a stranger. Let's keep your listeners updated. I'm more than happy. Let's schedule this again.
Great. We appreciate it. Awesome. Glenn, get some water and get some rest and get rid of that cold. Guys, thanks for checking out Cigar Chat. We will be back with you guys again next week. Logan, who do we have next week?
Grace.
Oh, with Grace Sotolongo. So that should be a fun show. So, guys, we appreciate it. Thanks for tuning in around the world, wherever you are. Thanks for protecting us out there and protecting America's interests. And everybody stay safe.
Thank you.
Okay, so that wraps up our AFRN broadcast. We've got some giveaways and stuff, guys, that I know you've been waiting for. I feel like we did a pretty good job, Glenn, of getting through a lot of these questions, and I know that you're fighting through that cold, like I said, so we're going to let you go. But we're definitely going to be in touch, and hopefully we can, over, like we said, we've got, 70 days, so hopefully we can really start making a push here.
Thank you. So I'll hang up now, right?
Yeah, go ahead, buddy. Just go ahead, hit the hang up button, and get some rest.
Thank you.
Thanks, Glenn.
All right, Glenn. Thank you.
All right, man. That's
That's some heavy fucking shit.
I'm appreciative of the fact that you stepped up and asked more intelligent questions than I did.
Hey, man, it's a third of the law degree, man.
Well,
you can read between the lines on when you say characterizing flavors. Does that mean shit like an acid? It's like, or are you talking like shit that's like dipped in like cherry juice?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, there's obviously a difference there, right? And then how do you define a premium cigar? Like, it just fucking pisses me off, frankly.
You know what I mean? We didn't cover, there's one thing I wanted to cover and we didn't cover, was the Members for Members thing, the drive that they're running. And I forgot to bring that up. That's my bad.
It's okay.
But go to cigarrights.org and you can see the Member for Members thing. It's just, they're trying to get the exponential growth of, if you're a member, reach out to some of the people that you know, you see at your local shops, or basically what we're doing here. If you guys are watching or listening and you are not a member, then you need to get on it. So what do we got as far as giveaways? We've got some Blessed Leafs, which I've been smoking, even though I've been ignoring it a little bit. So the Blessed Leaf, I don't know if you guys have smoked that one yet, and the Collective, we're going to be giving away 5 4 packs. Is that how we figured it out, Logan?
Yes, so everyone gets two.
Yeah, you'll get two of each. And I'm going to pick, I think we should just pick some of the best questions that were asked. What do you
think? Go ahead, man. They can email you, rob@cigarfederation.com.
No, they're going to email you.
No, man, I already said it, rob@cigarfederation.com.
Okay, yeah, so email rob@cigarfederation.com. Okay, so I'm going to pick Jay Morgan. He has some good questions, and he's got Bob Saget in his avatar, so that's good. I'm going to pick Steve Christopher. He asked some good questions as well. Who else here? Mike McCain. He asked the question that took up the last 10 minutes of the show, so that we're going to go with him. So that's, 3? I need two more. I'm going to pick Michael here. He asked a good question that we didn't get to about bipartisanship. Actually, we kind of talked about it a little bit.
We talked about it. I covered it.
We covered that. I'm going to pick him. And who else? Let's see. I need to pick one more. I'm going to pick Lena Adams. She asked a good question, and she joined today, too. So
yeah, Lena's cool. She always tells me good morning.
Yeah.
And it always makes my day.
Yeah, every morning, like every time you post something on Facebook, she always says good morning. So those are our winners.
Makes me happy.
Who was it again? It was Lena. She's a big winner. Michael. It's just Michael. You've got I think that's a SigFed beanie on in your headshot there. Mike McCain. Jay Morgan. That's it, right?
That's it.
Cool. So those are the winners. So email rob@cigarfederation.com.
Congrats.
Yeah, and thank you guys for checking out, and please do click on that link up at the top and go see. They really do all the work for us. We just need to yell about it a little bit more, I think, than we have been. I know.
What I'll do is I'll do it probably not tomorrow, but for next week, what I'll do is I'll line out a blog post that links to all the cigar federations or all the Cigar Rights of America. I just actually looked at, and it's kind of, not to get all sideways here, but you can comment on obviously the deeming document, right? I know you probably haven't looked, Rob, but guess how many comments there's been
on the document itself?
On the document itself at regulations.gov.
500.
So there's only 1,263, which, I mean, honestly, we have more members on Cigar Federation than that.
That's a good point.
Which, you know what I mean? It's one of those things. I think it's purely an awareness thing, and it's, I don't know. I mean, I'll tell you, hey, from the horse's mouth, if you want free giveaways, you want to have the store, then you need to do something about it or it's gone. So that's my soapbox.
Muting myself. I keep muting myself. That's definitely true. I mean, all these
you fucking weasels.
Yeah, for real.
For real weasels.
That's a damn good point. I mean, we're relatively new as far as the store is concerned, and you know, I mean, it's been doing pretty well, and I know you guys are enjoying the product that we give to you guys, Cigar of the Month Club, stuff like that. I mean, that's all going to go away potentially. So, yeah. And I think Surgeon just said that he said I'm Canadian and I'm a CRA member, which is kind of funny.
Which I mean, fuck, guys. I at a minimum. Go and do, I mean, and I'll line it out to make it easy for everyone, because I know everyone's busy. But, dude, I mean, go in there, you got to put your name in, you fill out a form, blast that shit out, and then go comment on the FDA, the regulation. I mean, it's as simple as, I love cigars, blah, 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 I enjoy them. It's my right. I mean, don't put anything ignorant in, obviously. Sound intelligent. But just do it. I mean, it takes 2 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do it for Rob and Logan.
Yeah, we'll get, and Logan's going to pull some of that information. We'll get it all posted for you guys next week. So, yeah, I mean, it's one of those things, man. It's tough. You don't really – you take things for granted until it's taken away from you. So, yeah, I mean, I like doing these shows, and I like the BSing with the – oh, I can say bullshitting. I like bullshitting with with everybody on the site and, you know, posting everything up on SigFed. So – yeah, Sam, we'll post a link up. I don't know if you were asking us. I just saw that in the chat room. But we'll post as much up as we can, and we'll be pushing it, you know, for the next 70 days. And hopefully, you know, I mean, something's going to happen, but hopefully we can find some kind of common ground. That was another question I wanted to ask, was a common ground. But I don't know if we're even at that common ground stage yet.
I don't think we're there.
It sounds like this is going to be a process that is morphing over the next year or so.
Sounds like it.
But like it has been over the last three or four, that's what Glenn was saying. But anyway, that was pretty enlightening. The dues for cigar rights, Lena, you see your question there. It depends on, you know, how – I think it's like $35 a year if you join for 1 year.
I think it's something like that.
But you can join for, you know, like a lifetime or whatever. So and they give you – like I said, you get a couple of cigars that I mean, I got these in here, and they give you. I got a travel humidor from one time that I signed up, and if you see those samplers out, they do the 10-count samplers, and they're really legit. Usually,
that's what I got for 3 years.
Yeah, and it's I mean, it's like a $100 sampler, but it's like $150 worth of cigars because there's good stuff in there. So keep an eye out for those things too. So, yeah, I mean, I guess that kind of wraps it up. I got a fly buzzing, and I apologize for the birds. I guess the birds are making a lot of noise. It doesn't sound loud to me, but I guess everybody else could hear it, so sorry about that.
Chirp, chirp, chirp.
Chirp, chirp. But, yeah, we've got Grace Sotolongo coming on next week, so that should be cool. I actually haven't even smoked that cigar yet.
Have not either, and I hope it'll be my last show in America before I go back out to India.
That's right. You're going to India. So let's see. Yeah, we've got just coming up. We've got Grace is coming on next week. Then the week after, we've got Cigar Oasis. Jose Blanco is coming on to talk about his new stuff. And then we got Lou Rodriguez, Victor Vitale, Miami Cigar Company, Rodrigo, La Serena, Ortega. Wow, and that's going to pull us up all the way to IPCPR. We're pretty well booked, man.
That brings up an interesting question. Who we're going to have on from Miami Cigar since Barry's no longer around?
Is he no longer with them?
Yeah, he gone, dog.
He gone.
He gone.
I didn't know that. I've been out of it for the last 3 weeks. This is my third cigar in like a month.
I wouldn't say that too loud.
Wine. Cry me a river, right?
I know. Cry me a fucking river. All right.
Yeah, anyway, all right, guys. Done. We appreciate it. Appreciate all the support, and we'll catch you guys next week.
Later peeps.